So Thomas, thank you for being here and agreeing to do this. Last April, when you were here in Vancouver, you spoke here about four foundations, if I remember correctly, to your teaching, which were meditation, downloading the future, communication, transparent communication, and service. The questions I've got since I wrote that piece and people have asked have largely been around the downloading the future piece. And I was wondering if you might speak to that, what that is, and how you see that fitting in terms of your teaching and how people can access it.
So first of all, where to start? First of all, let's talk about what is the future. There are different notions of the future. And there is a mystical version of it, and then there is a, let's say, mundane version to it. For most of the people, the future is what happens in the next 5 minutes, or tomorrow, or in 1 year. For most of the people, the future is actually the avoidance of the intensity of their lives. So when I live my life now, and I don't like my life, the probability is very high that I will constantly dream about another possibility that might be a bit better. So for most of the people, the future is actually an imagination of a better life, but because we are not literally living our lives fully here and right now. So this is one version. I'm not talking about this. What I'm talking about is the future of the genius people, the future of the saints, the future of all the people that set milestones for the human development. And this means these are mostly people that are so present in what they do, if these are scientists, saints, if these are whatever, people that explore different aspects of the human nature. So, and then by being so present that we actually live our full, more full and full and full and full version of ourselves, we extend our awareness into the future territory of humanity. Which means the future that we are talking about here is not what happens tomorrow, because tomorrow can be a repetition of today. It can be the same pattern again and again and again. But if we tap into our future, it means we tap into the future potential of what we can become, which is a wider radius of awareness, a wider possibility and complexity and wholeness to what I live today and what I experience today. So it's actually tapping into the super conscious aspects of myself. So everything that is in my radius of awareness is my state of consciousness today. Everything that is above this is actually above the ceiling of the room. So if there is a ceiling in the room, I most probably don't see what is above the ceiling. And there are some people that they are constantly digging holes into the ceiling. And then there is a perfume that comes from the next level. And in this room, there's suddenly a lovely fragrance. The people come and say, okay, what smell, what is this here? And then they start expanding the hole in the ceiling. And like this, we actually reveal new levels of evolution of humanity. So the greatest visionaries, the greatest saints, the greatest inventors of humanity have often been 50, 100, 200 years ahead of their time. What it means, their head was sticking quite far through the ceiling into the next level of humanity, and they were just sharing the fruits of where they lived. But they didn't live tomorrow. They lived in the same now, even in the same time zone, actually, but their radius of awareness extended into other time zones. So what I want to say with this is that we all have the ability, when we literally care in our spiritual practice about transcendence and the life equally, and if we really care to live and express ourselves fully while we transcend this life that we're expressing fully, then we have the ability to become inspirational, innovative, and more connected to the future, which is also more and more and more conscious to the process of creation, the mystical process of creation. So some people call it the evolutionary impulse. So some people call it God in action. Some people call it light. Some people call it, I don't know, there are different versions of it. But what it means is the driving force that is already in movement. Because we all, as we live here, once we are in life, we are in movement. And spiritual practice means to explore the movement what set us in movement. So the original impulse that makes us moving now is actually, the more we align with it, the more we tap into the future of humanity. This will be our inspiration. So many people are inspired by their past, by the fears, by the experiences, by the likes, the dislikes, the desires from the past. They are motivated by the past, mostly. Many of my thoughts as a person, or my feelings, these are simply the expressions of thousands of years of human evolution. Because they express themselves through me right now, and through you, and through all of us. So this is not so original, this is just an expression of the past. But what literally makes people inspirational or unique is actually when they transcend this level of consciousness and they become the future fragrance of what we can be. And there are actually always a few people only. It's a smaller group of people that are on the top of the pyramid. But I think it's a natural principle that it is like this, at least in our time. So when we look at the nature of innovative people in all fields, then we will see there are certain components that will lead us to understand the future more. One is, most of them are very, very much with what they are doing. If these are scientists, they are fully into it. If, like Steve Jobs, fully into it. You know, people like Jesus, Buddha, whatever. These were people who are really into their driving force. And therefore, they extended the human territory in one aspect, in fields that many people cannot see, because it's above their ceiling. Some people are actually two floors above our ceiling. You know, literally, when they walk into the room, you cannot see them. If somebody is, for example, if somebody is higher developed in the intellectual line of development or in higher mathematics than I, so when I go to the university and I see this board with some higher calculations, for me, these are just signs. I have no idea how they come there. I have no idea what they mean. But of course, they mean something to some people, and some people do amazing things with this. I have no idea. So I see this professor on the university that is doing all this. I can see the effect of his or her intelligence, but I don't know how it works. And so we have different lines of development. There are spiritually evolved people, emotionally evolved people, socially evolved people, and so on. When I meet them, and they are more developed than me, it means they live in my future. So when they walk into the room, I see them up to the belly, but I don't see the head. The head is walking on top of the ceiling. If I know this, then it gives me a lot of humbleness and surrender to life, because it means that we all can be teachers to one another. We all can have amazing developments, and we all can have other parts in us that are not so developed. So when I'm developed in one part, and I get a bit arrogant, then I will meet people that will show me that there are other parts as well that are not so developed. So first of all, it gives me a holistic perspective on development, that there is not only one thing, but there are many areas that we can develop in. And the other thing is, it shows us that we are not equal, because we are in different levels of development, all of us. And I think there is a deep surrendering in acknowledging this. That we all at times will have teachers, and we all in times will be teachers to other people. Like the water is coming down the mountain, and we need to be able to receive, which means we allow to learn from competence, from development, and we let the water go through and we pass it on. So we don't stop it above our heads, and we don't stop it when it flows down the mountain, because both will create imbalances. In humanity, it will create sickness in culture. So I think when we are living in this, we understand the flow of the future. And the flow of the future is not tomorrow. The flow of the future is actually that the potential that we can develop in, and the ability to allow that there is a lot that we don't see. Even if we think we see a lot, there's a lot that we don't see. And if I live my life in the humbleness, moment to moment, that I can know a lot, and I don't know a lot as well, so then I always keep the space open for new information to come. So people who are too full of themselves, they block in a way more information to come. And we see it sometimes even, they are amazing artists when they start, and they are super creative, they are genius, and some of them keep this way of creativity, and some other people, they when they become more famous, the fame starts, the ego starts taking ownership on the creativity. It's my creativity. And at this moment, you start shutting it down. So people, they have amazing breakthroughs, and then they stay on the same frequency, and they continue and continue the same thing. And they publish it in all versions, but actually, you miss a bit the new thing. Where is the new, where can I see that your creativity continues to develop? Some artists maintain this, and some simply stay stuck on their fame. And this is when people start knowing things, when when we become a someone. Even a spiritual teachers, when teachers become a someone, their community and their title becomes their new identity. And like this, you lose it. So in many areas. So this is, first of all, a clarification of what we mean when we talk about future. Which future are we talking about here?
Well, it's very helpful. I appreciate the pieces around a sense of presence and deep focus, humility, as well as the recognition of that there's never exactly an end point, that one may sacrifice even the great things one has kind of gained because there could still be further. Are there other elements when you mentioned that, you know, if we study great innovators or artists, spiritual teachers, we see common patterns that tend to show us what it is that allows for the ceiling sort of to come off? And are there other elements that are central to that?
There are two things. There are some books that you read, they are eternal, like the Tao Te Ching. You can read it 2,000 years ago, you can read it now, you can read it in 2,000 years. And you will feel it will apply, that there's an application of it to all times. And then there are effects, let's say there is the glamour of the clothing of the time that we're living in. So there are small ripples that arise, they become a bit more famous, appear, and then they disappear again. So there is a kind, the closer you come into the depths of reality, the more you merge with the mystical, transcendent aspect that rests in the depth of reality, the more timeless you become. So there are innovators that are out on the surface, and they are just, these are like surfers, like surfers on the ocean. Some surfers, they hit the wave of consciousness takes them, and then some of them stay stuck on their wave. And then the wave already goes down a long time, but they are still on the wave. So these are people that create a company, they have a good insight, then they make some, but then they don't get when the next wave is coming, and then their wave goes down, but there was already another wave, but they were holding on to the former wave because of safety, of fame, of success, whatever, of the fear of to do something new again. So there are people that catch the wave of our time. So this is one part, and they are very good people, that they have a smell, of what's next, and they jump and they jump and they jump, and some of them get really very successful by doing this, because they innovate something, and then once it takes off, they innovate already something new and it takes off. And then there are people who, and the deeper you go, the deeper they are immersed into life, the quality of what they write about, their art, their science, however, their contribution to humanity becomes more timeless. Then it becomes something. Then you get more the principles of life, and you apply the principles. You can apply again in every age. It will look different. We will talk about it differently, but it will actually be the same source code. Like once you know how to program a computer, you can program many programs, and they all look different. But how it was programmed is actually very similar. So there are actually two versions of innovators. The one who know how to jump, they have a good intuition where to jump to. And then there are the ones that are more, let's say, they penetrated reality deeper, and then their contribution comes from a deeper place. But this will last much longer. This is a deeper contribution to humanity. And what these people have in common is, first, they are mostly very present in. And it can also be that in their private lives, they are not so present. But when they start working, they are really there. And therefore, they penetrate life in this certain aspect very deeply. So this is one thing. The other thing is that these people learn somehow to open the space between the molecules. Most of the people are stuck in the habits that they created from themselves. So the closer, or the more the structure of who I am is close, the less new information can come in. the more I manage to live in an open structure. So I create structures when I need it, and I dissolve them when I don't need it anymore. And I open another structure when I need it, and I can let it go. So then these are people who constantly develop with their evolutionary drive. People who create a structure then get familiar with it and see it as their safety, and then they get stuck in it. So they're a pressure from evolution builds up, but people don't let go and create something new, but they stay stuck on this. This can be habits of behavior, this can be concepts about life, this can be versions of how we see reality, how we interact with each other, this can be a value system of a society, whatever. So what we see now in the world is that the society structure is shaking because it's too old. It's simply too old. For people who are creative, this is the best time. For people who want safety, this is the worst time. Because the more you want safety in this time, you will actually create more and more pressure in you. And the pressure literally is in our bodies, in our emotions, in our minds. So we will feel more frustrated, more depressed, more burned out, more. All of these are just symptoms of a dysfunctional society. But they are good symptoms. When we listen to them, then we listen, oh, something needs to move on. We need our different educational systems. We need a different way of doing economy, we need different ways of creating community. So we need a different ways how to address shadows in our communities and our interpersonal interactions and companies and so on. So life calls us to another level of development. Some people get it and they move in it and they simply move forward. They release the tension and they create a creative movement. Some other people try to hold what they've got. And this creates more pressure, and then these people will get more and more and more unhappy. And we will see that more and more structures will anyway fall apart because we create a crisis in order to let go to something new. So people who are connected to their future, they hear the future before they created a crisis in their life. So they hear the future and they follow it. So there are people that are mostly motivated by their past. So they are mostly motivated by what is around them and the impulses from the horizontal, from the outside. So if something happens in my life, I respond to this. And there are other people that are more connected inside to this, however we call it, God, light, evolutionary impulse, creation force. And these people develop before a pressure builds up because you are motivated by the future potential. You hear the and see and intuit the future potential in the moment when it's necessary to move. And if you're not too stuck on what you have in life and this noise around you, so when the inner connection is louder than the noise around you, then you listen to this and you move in your life with this. And as I think continuously innovative people, they are not just people who take raindrops. They are living in a waterfall. So some people, when they are creative, they collect once a drop of light, a new idea, then they say, oh, I copyright, they put a copyright on top of it, and they make a business from it. You know, copyrights are actually a reduction of our intelligence, I believe. We need copyrights because many people are not able to honor and respect the things that people bring into life. But actually, it reduces our intelligence because so many people are stuck on their copyright that we miss the point. That no idea belongs to nobody, and when we bring fruits to humanity, so it's not a personal thing, it's an impersonal thing. So there is no one there that needs to take a copyright. But as long as we are motivated by our existential fear, because we are living in the world of the taking people are people that constantly look what they can get in situations for themselves. In this world, you will never have enough because everybody is just looking what they can get. In the giving world, which is the next level of evolution, people become, because they are so rich from inside, they become creative wells, pools where water comes out. If you live in a world with giving people, you will always have enough because everybody is just overflowing. So the resources in the next level of development will not be a problem. Global warming will not be a problem. All of these things are not a problem because we will be much more intelligent. But if we are so separate like today, in this hyper-individualized postmodern society, then it's a problem. But it's not a problem of the outside world, it's a problem of our consciousness. So, and people who are more developed, they are simply more and more connected to either this rain, and they continuously collect drops of light, drops of inspiration, or they're literally through inner openings, through former crises that they went through, or through their strong spiritual drive, they are connected to a stream. And these people, they live what I call online. Once you are in this stream, you live online. You come from the future, because your motivation comes from the future of humanity, and you literally, you capture the essence of situations, of interactions, of communications, of things that happen in your life. You more and more see the essence of things, not the symptoms. So many people deal with the symptoms of their lives, and there are some people that are so present, so connected, that they actually live more in the timeless depth of reality. And from there, everything arises. Mm-hmm. So you're not anymore busy with the symptoms, because you're busy with where from they arise, these symptoms. So these are people that simply, when they speak, they hit the point. You know, they come to the core of things. These are people who solve situations. These are people who solve conflicts. These are people who bring new innovations. These are people who know how to deal with global situations from a different level. And I believe that, for example, in politics, we need politicians that are able to speak from the evolutionary intelligence that wants to unfold. Not from my idea what a country needs. My idea what a country needs is very limited, because I most probably cannot even see the country really, because I see just my version, my personal version of it. So if people could open themselves that they can embrace a whole country or a whole globe in their consciousness, then they can become the voice of the evolutionary intelligence of the bigger community. So, and this is, I think, this is innovative. We need such a politicians. These are not egos on top of society. These are the voices of the intelligence of society. This is a very different thing. But for this, you need to have a certain level of transcendence. And if you would look, the great, even great artists, even if in their personality they can be quite stuck, when they are doing their art, they are very open. Some of the musicians, some of the film producers, some of the painters, when they paint, they are in a totally different space. And this shows us again that we are not once open, we are always open. It can be that just in this one line of development, we are very developed. And then we are the future to many other people in this one line of development. So therefore, some people might be what you would say, yeah, but look at this artist, look at they live their life, look at the scandals, look at this ego that jumps on them. But when they are on stage, they are not there. They are not in this ego structure. They are beyond it. When they go off the stage, and then the fame comes, and then their ego comes and takes ownership. But while they play, they're in a different space.
You mentioned there at one point when we hear the future calling more than we hear the noise of the world,
right?
We will follow the call of the future. Are there certain ways that allow us to have a better, to tune our hearing, as it were, so that our hearing's better for the future, and we're tuning out the fear, not be as drawn to the scarcity, and not be as drawn to the habits and the fear and the reactions that we're conditioned, but to put trust in this future call,
and
to follow it. So are there ways that we can, because if maybe for some of us we're just hearing like a faint echo of the future, or it's very muted. So the things that help the sound become clearer?
Definitely there are practices how to make it clearer. And one of the practices is that when I live my life every day in the same busyness, with the same things, with the same patterns of my life, with the same relationship stories, work stories, career stories, friend stories, society stories, I read the same things in the newspapers every day, just with different actors. So I am the whole time in a field of information that seems to be the same, just it's psychically changing. So I can be very stuck, because I can think that this is life. Some people develop, and if you look, for example, into the Kabbalah tradition, they say 6 days do what you do, 1 day you don't do what you do normally, you rest. Some people interpret this mythologically, all kinds of stories to it. The essence of it is that you have an open spaciousness that reflects the structures that you are in, and awareness to the structures that you are living in. So if you create, let's say, a Shabbat every day in your life for half an hour, if you have times where you just don't do what you do normally, you just rest And resting means you start listening. On the beginning, when people listen, because they're so highly transformed with thinking and feeling, and so there's a lot of energy that runs. Some people, when they start meditation, they are full of thoughts and feelings, and they just want to stop it to do something else because it seems like stupid. But if you create the art of listening means you first of all become aware of structures, thought patterns, emotional patterns, physical patterns, patterns in my life. But then there's also an awareness of a kind of a spaciousness that is all the time here. Mm. It's like the paper that we are painted on. Mm. Most of the time when you read a book, you forget that you look at paper. You're just so absorbed by the story that you forget that you look at paper. You sit in the cinema, you look at a movie. If the movie is not super bad, you forget that you're looking at the screen. You know, you forget that you just see the content and the meaning. This happens to us all the time. But we forget where this meaning is arising in. So the very simple, unformed consciousness that is aware of all of this is often forgotten because we are so immersed into the structures of life, in forms, what's happening, in the story and the meaning. Once we transcend the meaning, means that we become aware of the paper. The original paper is always here. So people sometimes ask, yeah, how far am I away from the realization of God? Everybody is all the time, on one level, same far away from this unformed awareness. Because we are happening in it. So we are painted on paper. If I become aware while I read the book that I look at paper, I see the foundation of every letter. So when we open the space in the structures that we are in, to the awareness of the structures, so we learn, oh, I'm not just the structures, I'm also the awareness that is aware of the structures. So I open a space. And most of the people, as I say, as long as I'm a person, I'm a kind of a closed bubble that feels separate. The more we transcend this bubble, the more we see that structures are not open. Not even my body is closed, because I need to breathe, I need to eat, I need to relate. So I always need information to flow in and to flow out. This is an open system. So the companies that we create, everything that we create in life, is also an open structure. Therefore, if you look again in the Kabbalah tradition, 10% of your income you give to the collective. So people can say, yeah, taxes. No, it's nothing to do with taxes. It has something to do with the fact that we understand that if I create from myself a separate bubble that is my company and the revenue just belongs to me, then I will participate in the co-creation of a sick society. If I know that some part of my energy needs to go to the service to all, I am constantly open with at least 10%, this will grow by our spiritual practice, but at least 10% needs to care for the whole context that I'm living in. So I need to keep an awareness for this. So, and I believe people who can keep this open space, keep an open space for new things to come. So one symptom of this in our life is when you are surprised sometimes by the things that you say, this is a good sign. This means you have an open space for information that you don't know to flow into your life. Sometimes you know this, you have creative... You say something and you are surprised by what you say right now. And you say, wow, this was really cool. This was really cool means that you didn't think about it. It came through you. So it can be that you're in the same conflicts again and again and again in your life. But one day, you deal with it differently. Because it comes to you. And it comes to you through presence, through the ability to perceive more information, to keep an open space. And of course, so keeping an open space and listening is one tool to hear more or to collect more raindrops of light. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is a form of meditation or contemplation. And of course, there's certain more advanced meditation techniques where we can open our awareness to the light that always surrounds us. Mm-hmm. As we are sitting here, we are bathing in the brightest light that we can imagine. But my personality structure is like a bubble, and it filters the most of the intensity away into what stays as some creative moments. Creative moments are a taste of God, but some people live in this creativity most of the time. So they don't have a taste as a creative moment, they have a creative life. Creative means they're connected to the light. So we can develop the tools to perceive the light in us, so that a light drop that comes is not an accident, but it's actually something that we can open ourselves to, and then we'll be more and more inspired. And this is again what I said before, we live an online life. Online means nothing else that you're connected to the cosmic internet. You know that you are online, mm-hmm. and you have the ability to download information wherever you are. So if you talk to someone, if your meeting with someone will be inspirational, because you're if you need new information, you simply go to the internet and download it. So you become, in a way, an inventor or a kind of a visionary or pioneer in the field of human consciousness. Mm. And if you're a scientist, an artist, if you're a mother, if you, whatever you do, a social worker, if you meditate in a cave, it doesn't matter, in all areas of life, the same principle works. Mm. So people who really want to do this, they need to see that there are certain ingredients: listening, presence, connection, opening one's own structure, seeing where I'm holding to safety belts, and am I constantly releasing structures in order to create more functional structures. And so there are some things that we can work on, and of course shadow areas, to get clear on shadow material, because this binds often a lot of energy to move forward. And then to see that we are all in a movement. Mm-hmm. This means the more you are moving in your life, the more you are naturally receiving new water. The more you try to stop the movement, the more you will suffer, because you create constantly friction and pressure. Movement.
Thank you. Is there anything else? I think as we're coming, I think, to the natural end, is there anything else that you wanted to add that's very beautiful?
There are people that sit behind the curtain. They look through the curtain onto the road, and the curtain is their fear to be courageous, to go out, to mm-hmm. live their potential, and to look for contexts that support them to live their potential. And these people mostly watch TV. Because they watch TV, because in TV they see heroes. Why they need to see heroes? Because they are afraid to be heroes themselves. And I think what we need in our time is people who transcend their fears of whatever keeps them safe into becoming a hero in whatever they are doing in their lives. And then you will see less and less people in front of the TV, and more people being heroes in life, you know, mm-hmm. because life is so exciting. You don't have so much time to watch TV, because you do what you're supposed to do. Your mission is online, so why you need to watch heroes doing what you're anyway doing? It's mm-hmm. boring. So I don't think this message will be broadcasted in the TV, but for sure, it's a message to, if you want to become innovational or inspirational, or let's say you support humanity to move forward, then you need to come out from the holes of safety, and you need to start moving and participating and living and finding yourself's context that make it possible.
Wow. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.